It's Monday, March 23rd, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 17, starting at verse 1 with a message titled, The Beast and the Whore.
John says, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. This woman is doing everything she can to seduce, drawing people away from the throne of Christ. She is a city. She is a city. I think it's also fair to say that if the pure woman is the bride of Christ, the church, this is the beast's counterfeit church.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I've been asked to read the passage to save the pastor's voice. So our reading tonight of God's Word is from Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Let us give our attention to God's Word. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on the earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, Why do you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind and hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns that you saw, and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose of being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. So far, the reading of God's Word.
Thank you, Dr. Godfrey. Revelation has been incredibly helpful in showing us so far how strong the enemies of the church and of the Lord Jesus Christ are. It is giving us a very helpful and clear picture of that, so that we will take seriously the spiritual warfare that we are called to engage and to fight in. The church hasn't always taken this as seriously as it should, nor understood it. And that is why the book of Revelation is is incredibly helpful for us. I hope so far it has helped you to see and understand the nature of your struggle. And when something like Ephesians says, take up the armor of God, why do you have to take up the armor of God? You need to know what you're up against. And Revelation has been helping us with that tremendously, because there has always been the great problem of falling prey to the seduction of the world. Seduction of the world. What we need to see then is exactly what we're up against and why things are so confused, especially in light of the times in which we live. Because I know that, at least especially talking to the older generation, that many of you express how fast things have changed. What Revelation chapter 17 is doing is giving us a history. Another way to title this would be a short history of Babylon. It is giving us a history of Satan's greatest tool to overcome the people of the Lord. Remember chapter 12. This is Satan's great purpose in the earth. He's angry. He's been cast down. He's defeated. And as the dragon, he wants to devour the offspring of the woman. That's you. He has tools that he's using. He has things that he's very successful in using. So this is a section of exposure, but it's not just a section of exposure. It's also a section meant, in the midst of that, you notice the victory of the Lamb again, and it's helping us see how the great tools that Satan is using are quickly defeated and quickly overcome by the Lamb. And that will help you tonight, I believe, to help understand in your day why the kingdom of darkness that we are in and living in the midst of, this kingdom of darkness, is in such confusion right now. Did you feel that? Do you feel like things are in just such mass confusion? This helps us with that. This helps explain that. That's why chapter 16 was so important too, in the pouring out of the bowl. So Revelation 17 is a short history of Babylon. We haven't really unpacked in the book yet what that means, Babylon. We haven't spent much time reflecting. It just kind of shows up quickly early on in the book, especially in chapter 13 it's mentioned. But there's nothing that gives us a lot of indication as exactly what he's talking about. It's been referenced a few times, but here now we have an entire chapter on its rise and its fall. The rise and fall of Babylon. And he's giving us a very helpful picture of exactly what we're facing. And the effect should be then to have us take it all the more seriously and understand how real the challenges are and the power of Babylon that is being thrown at us. With that in mind, I want to jump right into this tonight here, that we have this description of Babylon, we have her purpose, and then her judgment. Those are the three things that we can look at in light of Revelation 17, the description of Babylon, her purpose, and the judgment. We enter in this last section now. We begin this last section, the seventh cycle of Revelation, and the best way to understand it is to set it side by side, juxtaposition to another series of visions in the fourth cycle that helped us to understand the other woman who was described. Notice here how this one begins. I want you particularly to look at verse 3. We'll come back to verse 1 and 2, but look at verse 3 for a minute. So he carried me away into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Well, that's not unfamiliar to us, is it, by now? There was another woman shown to us in the wilderness in chapter 12. That's what he had described in chapter 12. Now, a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. The woman gave birth to, the male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. We looked at that. She symbolically represented the people of God, the bride of Christ. She was beautiful. She's radiant. She's light-bearing. She's pure. She's glorious. This is how the Lord in the Scriptures, it's a remarkable thing that sometimes makes us uncomfortable, but the Lord describes us this way. This is his description of his bride, the church, the people belonging to heaven, who indeed are the bride of Christ, who are, Ephesians 5, without spot and without wrinkle, you know. Well, all of a sudden now, in chapter 17, we're introduced to another woman. She is meant to be set in stark contrast to the woman of chapter 12. In chapter 12, the woman there also represented the heavenly city, didn't she? The heavenly Jerusalem. But here the woman stands for the earthly city, Babylon. It's using comparisons and helping us to understand this. Everything that is said of this woman is opposite of what was said of the woman in chapter 12. The people of the woman in chapter 12 were later described in 14 as redeemed in the earth who are virgins, who are not defiled with women. Well, what's described here? The exact opposite. Then one of the angels, verse 1, who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on the earth have become drunk." The tie here is really important. In the last section, the angel was described as taking these bowls of judgment, the final expressions of judgment in the earth before the second coming, and he's pouring them out. And this particular angel, remember in the fifth and the sixth, was describing a judgment on the kingdom of darkness that he plunged the dragon's kingdom, the beast's kingdom, into darkness. This angel comes in chapter 17 now and starts speaking to John to show the link. It's an important link. Let me show you exactly what I am pouring these bowls out on. You need to understand it. You need to understand, when the kingdom was mentioned in the fifth and sixth bowls of the last chapter, if the whole thing was plunged into darkness, just what was he pouring the bowl on? That helps us here to understand chapter 17. Well, he describes her. Let me show you something. Inspired by the Spirit, first century Christians, or first century writers, were not embarrassed about these realities. They make us uncomfortable, but this is exactly what the Holy Spirit inspired, because He knows exactly what we are. He knows exactly what we do, all the problems that we face, the problem of the human heart, and He's capturing it in its ugliest form. He describes her. She has on purple, scarlet. That is, describing this woman is described by him in seductive dress. Seductive dress. She's covered in gold. She's wearing precious stones and pearls. You'll notice here the language is strong. She's sitting on the beast. You can see it in her hands if you look. A beautiful cup full of her abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. What graphic language is being used to describe what Revelation 17 calls her as? The whore. The prostitute. When John was first shown her, the first thing it said of her was that the kings of the earth commit fornication with her, and that they are made drunk with the wine of her fornication. On her forehead is a great name: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. "When I saw her," says John, "I saw her drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Can you get imagery of a more disgusting woman than this? That's what you should feel. This is absolutely disgusting. It's meant to make us recoil. It's meant to make us feel the most filthy woman you could possibly imagine out on the corner. The thing is, John says, I couldn't take my eyes off her. There's something that's really profound about this. She's stunning. She's beautiful. She has great power. Great power. That's the description. That's the description. What the angel now does is begin to describe her purpose, by looking at her history along with her connection to the beast. Their history together, so that we understand this. We understand exactly what this is. We understand exactly what he's describing. So verse 7 says it, let me explain to you the mystery of this woman and the beast who carries her. Remember, the whole purpose of this is to describe their judgment, to describe the judgment that is coming and the bowls poured out last time in the last chapter. Now, why they are falling down and what they are falling down on, what the whole thing looks like. John had said now, as he begins to describe the beast, John showed me, says John, I was shown a scarlet red in color beast. Now, this is not unfamiliar to us either. The beast has already been introduced back in chapter 13. Now, remember, John was given an interpretive framework. We were given an interpretive way to look at Revelation that really helped us to understand Revelation. That was probably, for me, the most important chapter to understand what's going on in the world and the unholy Trinity, remember? That he gave us an interpretive framework for looking at Satan's opposition in the world. And remember, he showed you the unholy Trinity, a false Trinity. The dragon representing a false kind of God the Father figure, and the beast, the first beast, representing an antichrist. And the first beast being an antichrist representing a false Christ-like figure. And the third beast, or the second beast, excuse me, was the voice of the first beast. He did the lying signs and the lying wonders. He was a counterfeit Holy Spirit. Now, all of that, of course, was set in contrast to what Revelation has shown us up front. Remember, right when we began the book, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. See, the framework's been working to help us. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus, the faithful witness. So you have the Holy Trinity referenced. But in the midst of these contrasting the true Trinity and the unholy Trinity, another figure was introduced, and that was the woman. The woman in chapter 12 being radiant and beautiful without spot. Well, now we have this other figure introduced who is in direct connection with the beast. It is the counterfeit of the true woman. Now think about this for a minute. It's really important. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. That's the beast of 13. That's the Antichrist. That's the false Christ figure. The beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. This woman, not looking at the heavenly woman, this woman, in contrast, was a prostitute, a great whore. Now, if these two women stand for two cities, Jerusalem above, the mother of us all, and now Babylon below, what do we have here? Do you see what he's showing you? Remember, we looked at the beast. The beast was the symbol of all Antichrist activity in the earth. All the Antichrist activity throughout history in the work of the beast. And in these last days, his particular purpose is to use authority structures. Remember, we looked at where's the greatest expression of authority. He was given a throne. Where's the greatest expression of authority shown? And the beast uses governments to accomplish that, doesn't he? You're going to see where all this goes in a minute, I hope. We looked at the beast. The primary way we looked at the beast was in his throne, trying to take the throne from Jesus and demand all worship. I said in a previous sermon, the beast, the primary way that he accomplishes that, the primary way he wants to accomplish that is through what? Persecution. He wants to destroy. He is inspiring fear into everyone in the kingdom of darkness. We have this fear with governing authorities. Think about it. There's a sort of a fear that is all of us. In what way does a fear come out? Well, when election time rolls around, you're very interested. If we get the wrong kind of person in there, we are very concerned of what they could do to us. We are very concerned of how things could turn and persecution could begin. Look at the history of it. Look at John the Baptist with Herod. This has been a long history of persecution from authority structures that have gone way outside their design, and the kingdom of darkness in this beastly form has tried to destroy God's people. You know that. It motivates. Fear is there. The beast's greatest expression of that authority comes in government. So the beast represents the world we looked at in its antichrist system seeking to persecute the woman. But here's what this is showing you. Here's what I'm trying to get to a conclusion for you. That's not the only thing he's using. He not only wants all your loyalties to bow down and trust the government and value the system of the world, but notice this. There's a much more crafty way that he is trying to seduce people and win the loyalty of hearts, we say. How so? John says, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. This woman is doing everything she can to seduce, drawing people away from the throne of Christ. She is a city. She is a city. I think it's also fair to say that if the pure woman is the bride of Christ, the church, this is the beast's counterfeit church. This is the beast's counterfeit church. And you notice how this system works together. If the beautiful woman, the pure woman of chapter 12, is the bride of Christ, what is this? You have the counterfeit of the beast, which seduces to give all allegiance to the beast, to give the beast worship. And that's why the imagery is so strong here. What do we think of when we think of a prostitute? Well, we think of seduction. That's on the mind of John as he's seeing this image here, the most powerful form of it being sexual. And that's what he uses to make these symbols make sense to us. This is what John said in 1 John, that the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. What is the greatest way that the beast holds people captive and keeps them under his sway? Babylon. Babylon. The lure of Babylon. So you see the two assaults here, don't you? If he decides not to force it with persecution, which he's done in history, he uses every other kind of seduction under the sun to accomplish the same purpose and drag people in. Those are the two ways that are being described. One pastor said, the symbol indicates that which allures, tempts, seduces, and draws people away from God. Look at the city of the world. Look at the world in its form of hatred. Look at all the things it uses. It's music, it's culture, it's industry. Everything that it can do to lay hold of us.
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.